Sports.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chris Vianney, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your hosts.
This is not a door to logical sense.
Tim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
This is kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See? I just can't stand!
Tonight's special guest, Alan Wojcik.
Let me just pick up a couple of those names you just dropped.
Kenny Omega.
We got the
power! Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And welcome to the special WrestleMania edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The biggest pay-per-view of the year just finished up. We are all here, and by all, I mean the Omega is here, joined by my favorite Aussie, Mace.
Rob, shut that fucking music off. I'm sick of hearing it. Fuck that over and play the ego piece of shit.
Mace is here with my too, man. First of all, I want to ask, before we continue this introduction, because everybody knows who the hell we are by now.
If you smell what Dwayne Johnson is cooking.
No, I want to ask, is there any information on The Undertaker? Because at first, I thought that was a work. And when they brought everything out, I went, oh, he's hurt. Legit. So I just wondered if there had been any information on him.
Nothing as of yet, but no, probably get something as the night develops.
I mean, because I thought, I'm not kidding when I say I thought we saw the death of Mark Calloway in the ring. Because when that guy came in, started checking him and checking him for a pulse, and he had that shit, that oh shit look on his face, you know, I'm going, Mark Calloway just died in the ring. Mark Calloway died at WrestleMania.
They didn't give an X sign. There wasn't a rush to get him out of there. They kept the camera on it the whole time. It came. I'm sure we'll talk about it again, but it came across more like setting up for last year being for next year being his final year.
And of course, okay, is what it seemed like. The mark that he is, the one and only Spud guy.
It's not a mark thing, Tim. Shut your mouth. It has nothing to do with being a mark. It has to do with being concerned for someone who steps into the squared circle and entertains the hell out of us on a nightly basis. And if you can read facial expressions and read, and yeah, we know they all can act. We all know that they can work a crowd. We all know that. Even the EMS guys are given a brief, a brief kind of here's how to work the crowd real quick. No, this didn't scream of working the crowd or trying to suck in the marks. He really looked legit hurt.
Well, right now there is no update on him. I'm sure we'll keep on watching the news sites. If anything comes up, we'll update everybody. But finishing where I was rudely interrupted, that is Spud, and we have Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the post-WrestleMania edition of WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And just to address Spike's concern, Spike, I wasn't making light of it. I seriously think that it was a very well done work. However, we are keeping an eye on all of the news sites and everything like that to find out if there was a legit injury going on or anything like that. It just did not come across to me that he was seriously injured. I got the feeling, we were talking about it in chat, that it may be a setup for his final WrestleMania match next year. We'll get to that when we get to that. Everybody, I don't know how you liked the pay-per-view tonight. Don't know how you hated the pay-per-view tonight. We're going to find out. The phone lines are open. You can dial in 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sir Rockin, Skype to Skype, absolutely free from your phone line. Long distances charges may apply. And Mace, for a guy who left the network, we just can't seem to get rid of you, brother.
Yeah, well, the full extent of that will be explained after the show because, hey, I'm not bringing down WrestleMania with my job woes.
There you go. Yeah, I've been keeping abreast of the soap opera, and I got to say it's a lot more entertaining than some of the things on TV. But, yeah, we'll talk about that later. I just want to say that it's really nice that you're actually here.
Yeah, I was going to be here either way.
No matter what, so that's a good thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and Spug, where did you catch the pay-per-view from?
Oh, we went over to a friend's house and watched it.
Okay, so, and Omega, you watched it at home, did you?
I did, sir.
Oh, look at this. What are you, sucking up, calling me sir?
That's just a random word I picked. I could have easily have used douchebag.
Oh, well, no, stick with sir.
It would have been more appropriate.
Hey, you know, we got to pay Tim some sort of respect. He did get a shout-out on the pay-per-view. Ain't that right, Moses?
Mace, I forgot Mace. About the May Young bit. That was fantastic.
Mace, you are definitely, definitely proof that the dingo should have eaten your mom's baby.
Aww. Aww, gee, that's the only comeback you've got. Aww.
That's the only one I care to bother with. Anyway, let's just get right into it and take a look at this. Give me your overall impression. First off, let's get it from Spug. Your overall impression of tonight's WrestleMania.
I would like to thank WWE for charging $59.95 for a glorified Royal Rumble / SummerSlam. This wasn't Mania. It was a 71,000 seat crowd. It was in a stadium, and yeah, it was called WrestleMania, but this wasn't WrestleMania. The crowd wasn't into any of it. I mean,
Spug, sorry to cut you off there, dude. Take a look at the way the arena, they addressed this on the History of WrestleMania DVD. Some of arenas aren't
built for large crowds. The true story of WrestleMania, the sound goes up, not in. I get that. But there's a difference. If you listen to that crowd, okay, listen to that crowd, during certain matches, there is but a dull murmur. It's not even, I've heard that is the same type of capacity that fills that stadium for Atlanta Falcons football games. And I've heard that stadium. I know how loud that stadium can be. And the way it's designed is to reflect the sound up and then back down. And there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of that. That the crowd just wasn't into it. I mean, yeah, they popped here and there, and they got a little excited, but it didn't feel like WrestleMania one bit. And especially at the end, not even the double countout. That's how you end your title match? That's how you end the not really the main event, but your company's title at the on the last match of your card of your biggest event? That's how you ended?
Well, I'm only going to refer you to what we talked about what I said last week, how this doesn't feel like a solid WrestleMania to me. And you disagreed. You said it was going to be a very solid card.
The card was solid. If you looked at the card on paper, the card looked solid. It looked like a really good card.
Yeah,
the
tonight I called it safe.
Well, it might have been a safe card, but the thing is like, Omega is a Cubs fan, myself is an Indians and Browns fan. I can equate this to sports. When you look at the roster preseason or spring training, and you see that your four hitter is hitting above 500 in spring training, and has the league lead in RBIs, neither the Cactus or the Grapefruit League, and yada yada, and your team is just rolling, and then all of a sudden you get to the regular season, and they can't get anybody out to save their life, and end up 45 games below 500 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what this felt like to me, was that looking at it on paper, this should have been one of the best WrestleManias we've ever seen. Because it was filled with potential moment makers that we've all wanted to see, and the internet wrestling community all over has craved for years, and they just dropped the ball.
Okay, Mace, your thoughts and opinions on tonight's pay-per-view.
Well, I wouldn't so much call it a combination of the Royal Rumble and SummerSlam as a very expensive episode of Raw. Because I got the exact same feeling Spug did from it. Mind you, I didn't have the enormous, $59.99 you paid for it, Spug?
$59.95.
Yeah, I only paid $35 for our feed down here. And, yeah, I just felt like it was a very expensive episode of Raw that I actually had to pay for. I don't know, it just didn't seem like it. And I've got and I hate to harp on this yet again, but I'm putting it on Dwayne Johnson, because him hosting WrestleMania just made me feel like we were watching somebody guest hosting an episode of Raw.
Okay. Omega, your turn.
So do I have to keep this trend of downhill comparisons going and say it was an expensive episode of Sunday Night Heat?
I want you to say what you think. I want to hear your opinion.
My opinion, lackluster is a good word for it, a letdown in general. Because he's right. I mean, Spug was right. Going in, this looked like a very solid WrestleMania card. This should have stood out as one of the better WrestleManias. Yeah. But you had so many miscues, from the core getting squashed in a minute 30, to Bryan and Sheamus getting bumped to the dark match, to, 4 or 5 minutes wasted just on Miz and Cena promo introductions, that could have gone to making this a much better show or putting some more wrestling on the card. And it didn't happen. And you had what was essentially broke down into a mid-range pay-per-view that just happened to be called WrestleMania.
There you go. Okay, well, before we go any further, I just want to bring on actually a live update from Hotlanta. That's right. We are actually getting a phone call from Atlanta right now. We're going to bring her on. We call her, her in the chat room, as Jersey Girl. Jersey Girl, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. How's your voice? You sound a little raw.
Yeah, it's kind of slipping.
So, we're just giving go ahead, Mace.
Tim, before you start going on the what's your impressions, answer me this, Jersey. How's the traffic?
Actually, I left during the main event because it was The Miz and Cena.
What did I say in chat at the end of the Taker Triple H match? I said Mania was over. That was the end.
It was just funny because we were like,
watching it and we're like, okay, why is Triple H and Taker not the main event? Why is it before Snooki?
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to that soon where I go through gritted teeth about the fact that Snooki has a win at WrestleMania.
Well, that's grape about that in a little bit. But, Jersey Girl, what's your overall impressions of the show? You were there live. What was it like inside? Spug was saying it sounded like there were dead spots and there were murmur spots, throughout the crowd where they didn't seem to be that into, parts of the pay-per-view. Was it really like that live?
Pretty much. I mean, it was like the whole Cole match was like, okay, this is boring.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if you guys can hear me. I'm having trouble with my mics and stuff, so I'm sorry if you guys can hear me.
Yeah, no, we can hear you fine. You're sounding like you're on a built-in mic, but we can hear you, no problem.
Yeah, I can't figure out a way to disable that mic to get on my other mic, so I'm stuck with this.
Goddamn Windows.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what the hell? But
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, my section started, this is boring chant, doing Cole and Lawler, like, this is boring.
Well,
you know,
go ahead.
They said it, going back to real quick about the Undertaker thing, they said it on the Mania, on the True Story of WrestleMania DVD, which I watched. I actually did get to finish watching last night. Triple H and Jericho were talking about WrestleMania 18 when they were the title match. And Triple H said it best. He said, we were the last match on the card, but Hogan Rock was main event. He said, Jericho and I lobbied all day to Vince McMahon to put us before Hogan and Rock. They lobbied all day long to have the title match go on before Hogan and Rock. And Vince gave Hunter the line of, this is the company's title, it has to go on last. This is WrestleMania. And I'm pretty sure that Hunter and Taker lobbied all day to make sure that the title match went on first. Because
yeah, I mean,
they get it.
It made no sense, so I was going to be like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, they built it up for so long, and it's like, this sucks.
So, did you have a good time, Jersey?
I actually did. And, Tim, I'm not sure if you heard my message or not earlier.
I believe Tim has stepped out for a moment, but feel free to remind us of what that message was, because I laughed when I heard it.
Okay, yeah, no, I got the message. Yeah. You talked to Natalya and Tyson, and they told you to tell me that they said hi. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
No, and what else did they say to give me?
Hey, guys.
What else did they say?
Morning access. And Tim Stein, I have a personal message for you from both Tyson Kidd and Natalya. One, they say hi. And two, Tim, Tyson said you better send me my damn DVD. And yeah, he needs it. He said don't make him come up there and tell you otherwise. He said send me my DVD. But anyway, I'm about to get in line for the second.
Yeah, you see, I knew you talking to them would have been a bad idea. Of course, a lot of people tuned in know that I happen to know them, so, yeah.
Oh, I wish I could have gotten WrestleMania access to meet Natty.
I'm glad you did.
Just wondering, in the small conversation you had with Tyson and Natty, did you happen to mention Spug's particular love of Natty's
Tag team.
Yeah, I said, I was like, one of our friends is a little bit too obsessed with you, Natty, and some kind of department.
Well, way to be subtle there, Jersey.
I didn't say in so many words, I just said that you're obsessed.
That could actually be taken in an even worse way, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Spug,
I'm not going to Calgary to stalk her.
Spug, she's learnt off you the subtlety of a 12-pound sledgehammer, okay?
Listen. I may have the subtlety of a sledgehammer, but at least I know how to swing it in the right direction.
Spug, would you have rather I send it to Lita than to Natalia?
No, I'm not the one that's obsessed with Lita. That's Omega.
Here we go.
I am not obsessed with Lita, okay?
He's not obsessed with Lita. He's obsessed with Lita jokes. There's a difference.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Spug.
Yes.
You owe me $30.
Fair enough.
I need your address.
Get a hold of me on Skype. I'll get you my address, and I will ship you the cashish before you ship me the T-shirt.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was.
Did you buy enough for the rest of the class?
Nope. I win.
Alan got one. And then I have a teddy bear, but I'm not sure who you're to send it to. I'm not sure if it's to send it to Alan or to Spug.
Yeah, no.
I'll put the teddy bear in a ring.
Yeah, no, if it's a teddy bear, send it to Rock, because Spug will just beat it up in the ring.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm a toy collector here.
Yeah, but you collect plastic toys.
Plus, the teddy bear doesn't transform.
You know, I'm worried about this. He'll figure out a way to make this thing transform.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, we've shot for popples on the air before.
There you go. That's what I was talking about.
Popples!
You guys are crazy.
Absolutely. So, overall, Jersey Girl, did you enjoy yourself? You had a good time? You had fun?
My ankle's swollen up like 3 times the size it usually is. And that's my roommate. She agrees.
What'd you do to your ankle? Did you get in the way of the Undertaker when he went through the table? What?
No, I had an ankle injury from before I broke it like 3 years ago, so it tends to swell up if I stay on top of it.
Oh, I see. That reminds me, like, whereabouts were you sitting in the arena? How far away were you?
We were like pretty much in the middle. It was like section 136.
Okay.
I tried to find Rob again, but we couldn't find him.
Oh. Okay.
Did you at least have a sign to help us promote the network? You know, like
yes,
another station had.
I'm not sure if they ever showed it.
That's all right. We noticed another show got a goddamn plug in the front fucking row during the Triple H. Take a break.
I wish I was in the front row just to get the sign down there.
Yeah, I'm just.
Who got a show?
I'm surprised they were able to hold on to the sign, never mind actually have it get on camera. So.
Now, honestly, I want to know something, because we had no idea what the hell was going on with The Undertaker.
Okay, yeah.
Can you kind of explain what they were saying?
They weren't really
saying. Like, we saw them take his balls, and I'm thinking, oh shit, did he have like a spell in the ring and he died or something?
Well,
they showed him the entire time. They showed him on camera all the way until they carted him to the back. So it looks like a work, but a extremely well done one. Yeah, it was intentional,
like, oh,
though. They
shit,
wanted
they
you to see it happening.
What's going on? Yeah, literally, I was like, oh shit, what's going on? They took his pulse.
Yeah, they were checking his eyes the whole bit, and it just came across to me that it's not something that they would do out front, but anyway. But yeah, Spug brought that up. He, at the very top of the show, he was talking, oh my god, Mark Calloway just died in the ring.
I know, that's not what I said. What I said was, originally, when they started checking his pulse and you could see him, it looked like he had died. And I said my first reaction was, oh my god, Mark Calloway just died in the ring. Don't put fucking words in my mouth.
I did put fucking words in your mouth. If you paid attention, I was telling her that's what you said. You said to us that that's what you said, so. But anyway, still no word, nothing posted, nothing mentioned at all about the Undertaker's possible health, I guess.
That's if you can find a news site that's still working. So many of them seem to be crashing all of a sudden, people hunting down Mania results.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, a lot of them seem to be running really slowly. A few of them are actually offline, which is no skin off my nose, personally speaking. But, you know, what can you say?
Just wondering, did you guys follow me on Twitter? Because I was tweeting, like, the whole entire time.
No, I was too busy watching the pay-per-view. And I don't really follow Twitter. I can't speak for anybody else.
Yeah, I don't...
I gave a what's up to you guys on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that was very sweet of you. Thank you for doing that. But yeah, I don't pay attention to Twitter. I don't follow Twitter. I mean, it's all I can do to go onto Facebook, personally speaking.
Yeah, like tweeting. And the only other thing was I said on Twitter that I thought was kind of rather funny, considering his comment to Josh Matthews. Mm-hmm. I was like, is Cole trying to look gay in the ring?
Did he come across as somewhat homosexual? Maybe that was his way of appeasing Glad for calling Josh Matthews a faggot on Twitter.
I don't know, but I was like, okay, he's either trying to be gay or he's whiter than Sheamus.
I want to know where Cole got his prison cats.
From the quarter machine at Walmart.
Yeah, those are Walmart specials. Absolutely. Anyway, Jersey
Girl. Yeah, if they showed a camera close up, it would have been a unicorn.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Jersey Girl. I'm glad that you had a good time. Hope you enjoy the rest of the rest of your stay in Atlanta, and you have yourself a safe trip home. And thanks for calling in.
Bye, guys.
All right, you take care, girl.
Thanks, Jersey.
Bye, guys.
Everybody, that's a regular listener, Jersey Girl, calling in from Atlanta, the site of WrestleMania 27. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be back to take a look at all the goings-on. WrestleMania 27, we'll be back right after this.
In the darkness, light will take you to the other side. Find me waiting there, you'll see if you just close your eyes. If you just close your eyes. If you just close your eyes. I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fia Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Ah?
Vegetable fried rice. Pie.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly everything is come to life. A better place than a broken dream.
I've put the talk now, but I like this song. Yeah, welcome back, everybody. WTR Sunday Night Post WrestleMania. Welcome back. Review. And, very apropos that we hear Edge's music. That was the first match of the night, the World Heavyweight Championship. And let's face it, guys, we all typed in WTF, Omega.
To say the least. I mean, I know, going in, I've been down on Del Rio getting this shot at WrestleMania in the first place. But even I would not have booked this at the beginning of the pay-per-view. I would not have labeled him the curtain jerker of the night.
Now, let me ask you this. Finding out that it's the World Heavyweight Championship to kick the show off after Rock's 15-minute promo, did that maybe give you an inkling of what we could expect the rest of the night to be like?
You mean everything put aside so The Rock can show off a little bit? Sure.
There you go.
Gave you that impression.
Okay, there you go. What'd you think, Mace?
Yeah, I was like everybody else. As I'm sitting here going, okay, you're putting your World Heavyweight title on first. Vince Russo, are you backstage?
Yeah, that was a predominant question throughout the night, I think, if I remember correctly. But, having the World Heavyweight Championship kick the show off, it rang some warning bells with me, guys. And I'm like, okay, geez, I hate being proven right when I'm talking about something that we don't want to have happen. And I've maintained that this year's WrestleMania, while the card sure looks solid, I said that it was a solid-looking card for any other pay-per-view but WrestleMania. And, this goes right back. Spug rejoining us now, this time on Skype. Spug just talking about the opening match, the World Heavyweight Championship. Your thoughts and impressions on them starting the pay-per-view with that match?
I don't necessarily have a big issue with it because you want to start the pay-per-view off hot. And I think they successfully did that to a point. The thing that really bothers me most about the card as a whole is, as I said, you said that, it was a solid card for any other pay-per-view. No. If you look at the card, it was solid for a WrestleMania. It just didn't live up to expectations and hype.
Yeah, well, that was...
A la WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, well, that was basically my point leading into it in the week preceding, including our preview show
last night, which I do believe is available in the WT archives. If you missed it, you'll actually be able to hear what we were talking about and what we were expecting to happen tonight if you want to catch that as soon as we're done with the live show tonight here. But, yeah, you remember last Sunday? Mace, you weren't with us, were you, last Sunday?
Yes, he was.
Were you?
Yes, I was. I was here last Sunday. I wasn't here for the preview show.
That's right. Yeah, you were here last Sunday, and you remember me saying that, yeah, this is going to be a great pay-per-view if it was named anything other than WrestleMania. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what I said last week.
Really? I mustn't have been listening like 9 times out of 10 when you talk.
Well, there you go. Thanks a lot. Omega, back me up, will you, please? Please? The silence is speaking volumes. Thanks, Omega.
Were you talking?
Yeah, we really can't back you up, dude, because you were all about this card, too, last week.
Yeah, but I also said that this was not going to be a very good WrestleMania. It didn't have the feel to it or anything like that.
You know what? Here, do me a favor.
Listen to the archives.
Do me a favor, Tim. Do me a favor. Next time you're slightly wrong, try seeking this much attention as when you're slightly right. And maybe people will pay more attention to what you say.
But I'm hardly ever slightly wrong. And I'm almost always slightly right.
No, you're really not.
Anyway, 11 minutes and 6 seconds for the match tonight. Alberto Del Rio versus Edge. Of course, Christian comes out to stand in Edge's corner. We had Brodus Clay in Del Rio's corner. The match itself was not bad. It just, and I'm still saying, Omega, there's just something not coming across on television with Alberto Del Rio. Or not just television, but, you know, pay-per-view even.
You're going to direct this at me because, of course, you know what my reaction is going to be.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go right to Spug as soon as I'm done with you.
Okay, I've never seen Alberto live, but Alberto Del Rio live. I've never witnessed what Spug has, but watching at home on television, he just does not seem worth what he has achieved. If he'd been in the company a couple of years doing what he's doing, I'd have no problem with what he got here at Mania. My only issue is that despite lineage, he hasn't earned his way yet.
Okay, there you go. Spug, your turn for any possible rebuttal, I guess.
Well, when he slapped that arm bar on Edge, I went, and towards the end of the match, I went, oh, he's going over. And the problem with that match, and I hate to criticize, I really do hate to criticize and critique and sound like a smart mark, but the thing with that match that kind of took away is at the end it got sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's at any fault of Edge or Del Rio per se. It might have just been the spots that they had wanted to work out. It's just, it looked sloppy. And at a moment, it looked like Del Rio was the tad bit lost.
Okay. So, does this impact or affect your thoughts and your opinion about of Del Rio being main event caliber and quality?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Mace, your quick thoughts and opinions on the match here. What do you think?
It was a good one to get the crowd hot. I'll agree with that. And, you know, it was a nice little back and forth contest. But you know what could have done the job just as well? Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan! Oh, wait. That's turned into a fucking dark match.
There you go. And so Edge
not Reed only a dark match, but not only a dark match, but a lumberjack match, which then was a battle royal, so the U.S. title wasn't even on the line.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So, Edge retains, and then he goes up the ramp and attacks Del Rio's car with Christian. I guess this feud is going to continue. They're not quite done with each other just yet, Omega.
I want them to be done. Unless this is going to lead to, like, unless this is going to lead to a proper Edge and Christian reunion or or feud, I don't think this is time. It's freaking second feud in the WWE. Can you move him on to someone else? Maybe give him some credibility first.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. I guess now we should probably talk about the match of the night. Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Mace.
Yeah, let's talk about the match we didn't get to see.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm just basically voicing, I think, a very similar opinion that you are, Mace. Totally pissed off that this got bumped to a dark match and then even changed around so it wasn't a title match.
Stupid.
They haven't had the mid-card titles on Mania in years. I'm not worried about it.
That's retarded. It really is retarded, Spug.
It may be, but we're bitching about something we have no control over. We sound like every other wrestling show on the internet.
You know, that may be, but the thing that gets things changed is everybody banding together, not just, you know, us angry internet people. I mean, those titles should be dusted off and given the respect they deserve. And you can start by actually defending the damn things in your showcase pay-per-view.
Yeah, once upon a time, the Intercontinental title had the best matches at WrestleMania.
Absolutely, yeah. But, back to Mania. Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes is match number two. You guys are all joking around. The next time they face off against each other, it's going to be mask versus mask.
Boy, doesn't Spug look right about now?
Well, Rey Mysterio coming out looking like Captain Latin America. How many Halloween costumes?
He was Captain Mexico.
Seriously, how many Halloween costumes does this guy have?
you gotta remember, this is Rey Mysterio. He picks his costumes out of the kids' section, for fuck's sake.
Well, yeah, you know, I was expecting to have the doorbell ring and somebody yelling out trick or treat when he came out.
I give him props! I do! I give him props. I liked it.
Okay,
every year he comes out as a different comic book character.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty ballsy. Like you said, he shops in the kids section. It's pretty ballsy.
You know what? I'm done. When you guys actually want to critique this instead of make fun of it, then I'll be back.
So the match itself goes 11 minutes and 58 seconds. It started off, to me, it started off slow, but it built. Mace, what do you think?
Yeah, it was all right. I think at one point I'm sort of sitting there going, okay, please finish it. And then all of a sudden, Rey Mysterio's got the mask on and doing headbutts. You know, that Chris fella used to do them.
Yeah. Chris who? No, don't say him.
Omega? But otherwise, yeah, solid match from the two.
Yeah, no, it was a good match. It was nothing supremely off the hook. It wasn't anything unexpected or anything like that, I don't think. Omega, what did you think?
Honestly, I didn't get a chance to watch this match.
Oh, you didn't? That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because it was entertaining. And like I said, it was a build. It started off good and got better. It didn't get sloppy as it went on. Spug, if you're still there, go ahead and chime in on this one.
It was a good match. It did get better as it went along.
Uh-huh.
And they actually told a story in the ring. You know, unlike a certain six-person tag match that took place before a main event, they actually told a story, and it was a very compelling one. The thing I guess that sort of bothered me about it was I get having Cody Rhodes go over, and I believe I even called it. Like, I get him going over. The thing that really kind of irked me about it was he kept up with the whole "oh, my face is crushed" thing afterward. He shouldn't have. At that point, you know, the mask is off, you know, have him realize that his face isn't crushed anymore and have him get even more arrogant.
Oh, no, I kind of like the Phantom of the Opera thing he's got going on at the moment. So,
kind of interesting. Okay. Yeah, so feud between these two. Has it been resolved? Was this the blow-off match, or have we got more Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio to look forward to in the coming weeks and possibly months?
I'd say we probably got more. Yeah. Sorry, Spuck.
No, you're all right. I was just saying that there's more.
Okay.
Probably said that we're not done here.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a bad thing necessarily. These two have been working on a pretty good program. I mean, I've seen worse that's gone on longer. So, as long as they keep up, as long as they keep up the good parts of the feud, then, it should be okay. It's, the next match was a squash. It lasted 1 minute 33 seconds. Kane, Big Show, Santino Marella, and Kofi Kingston subbing for Vladimir Kozlov takes on the core consisting of Wade Barrett, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and Ezekiel Jackson. Absolute squash, Spud.
Yeah, and I guess the problem with the fact that it was just an absolute squash was that it really made no sense. You have this group that you're trying to build up. It would have been a better match had it been the core and the core, because you could literally get 2 4-man tag teams out of it. Uh-huh. You have the core and the core versus Santino Marella and Kofi Kingston versus Big Show and Kane. You know what I mean? You have an 8-man, 4-team tag match for the tag titles.
Yeah. Mace, what did you think?
I thought it was a joke. I saw it happening, and I'm like, really? You know, you started building this up, and now all of a sudden, okay, Kofi Kingston's in there. Okay, no money in the bank for him. Well, that's understandable. And then next thing I see is Cobra. Punch. Oh, look, the Wendy kid's dead. Huh? Seriously, that just confused the living shit out of me.
Yeah.
Here it is, a Mania match like that match could have gone for at least 15-20 minutes easy. And you could have had some real nice little highlight spots for your highlight reel, but no, they just breeze through it in less than a minute. Or yeah. 2 minutes, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, definitely, they had enough talent there to carry that match, like you say, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Omega, what did you think?
Confusing as all hell. I mean, not only are you squashing your heel faction on SmackDown, you're squashing your Intercontinental Champion and your Tag Team Champions all in one go. And you've bumped Vladimir Kozlov off the WrestleMania card for absolutely no reason whatsoever, other than you overbought Kofi Kingston's pyro that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, this could have gone... You know, this could have been a good 10-minute match, you know, especially if, you know, they had cut down some of the super long promos and Undertaker's may or may not selling at the end. Or there was so much wasted time in the pay-per-view, it makes me wonder why they needed a squash match at all.
Yeah, this entire thing just makes the match just, it was senseless to me. Absolutely. 1 minute and 33 seconds, and boom. On to the next one. Next one. This is one that we've been waiting for, that we were talking about, that we were looking forward to. Randy Orton versus CM Punk coming in at 14 minutes, 45 seconds, and a mid-air RKO on CM Punk gets the pinfall victory for Randy Orton. Omega, did it live up to your expectations?
I'd say so. I mean, I would like to see a little bit more from him down the line, but I was happy with the performance. I mean, we've seen the mid-air RKO a couple times before already, so, you know, I'd like, you know, maybe the finish wasn't that impressive to me just because I've seen it before.
Uh-huh.
But for what it was, I wasn't upset with the match at all.
Okay. Mace, what'd you think?
Yeah, it delivered exactly what I thought it was gonna do. You know, nice, interesting ending. Well, actually, I lie. The ending wasn't that interesting because after Orton popped up out of nowhere and went for the RKO and Punk's gone straight to the outside, I'm like, oh, here we go, diving into an RKO that we've seen a couple hundred times before. But other than that, you know, really well done. Finally, Orton started selling it, his knee, after being bashed on most of the match.
He sold it well.
Not in the beginning, but as the match wore on, he did start selling it more and more, especially when he went for the punt. But, yeah, it was exactly the type of match I was expecting out of those two, so that's one of the ones I'm glad I actually paid to watch.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a bad match at all. Spugwood, your opinions, your thoughts.
See, this is where Mason and I are in disagreement, because
I thought
that Orton sold the knee very well. I thought Orton sold the knee very well throughout the majority of the match, and did a good job telling the story, especially with the punt. And I said it last night on the preview show, he reminds me a lot of Jake the Snake Roberts. In that he has the ability to get ring psychology on a level that most do not. That most just kind of gloss over. And so you could see in that match, those two worked very well together. I was very impressed with the both of them. And if they blow this feud off here, they're missing out on potential.
No, I can't see them blowing the feud off. Really, I cannot see this being the end to the feud, Mace.
No, I don't see it being the end either, but hey, they're doing a good job. Let them keep going. Make some money off it.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Omega.
No, eventually we do have to say that one of these matches was a blow-off match. Because so far, pretty much everything we've said has been, it'll keep going.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know,
just,
man.
It's just an observation so far.
Okay. Well, that being said, you know, Randy Orton gets the RKO in midair. I think that it was a really good spot for the finishing move and looked pretty good. It wasn't quite as devastating looking as the one he leveled on Evan Bourne last year. You remember that one?
Oh, that wasn't Evan Bourne in mid-backflip.
He was in mid-backflip when he got caught in the RKO, so. But there's that match. We don't think this one's a blow-off yet. And that brings us to our next match, and the last one we'll take a look at before we head to our next time out of the night. Special guest referee, Stone Cold Steve Austin. We're talking about Jerry the King Lawler taking on Michael the Tool Cole, accompanied by Jack Swagger. And just as predicted, Jack Swagger interfering like crazy, Omega, until he gets the stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I think this is the match where I started seeing Vince Russo holding the pen backstage. I mean, it was a lot slower than I thought it would be. You know, I mean, I was expecting, you know, a good 5 minutes of Cole getting the crap beat out of him. Yeah, and I thought that was all that it would be.
Yeah, well, I figured that they would do something to give Lawler a chance to sell, you know, some in-ring action by Cole. And, you know, I said,
Swag call it that.
So, yeah. So
it was fun seeing the world's smallest cage match, though.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I will give it to you. Getting second side, what is he calling that? It's the coal mine.
Yeah.
The coal mine. It had a cave-in later on.
Yeah, the coal mine with the cave-in. So, Spike.
Am I the only one that thought they looked lost at the end? That match, it just screamed of... And this is another one that unfortunately should have been a blow-off, but won't be.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do this again, and what aggravates me about this is that it should have been the sort of Jerry swan song and moment, let him have it, and he walk on. The problem with all of it is that you had way too much involvement from other people. Swagger, Stone Cold, Booker T, you had all this ancillary involvement that didn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been 5 minutes, and I said it when we were sitting there, is that Michael Cole shouldn't have been in the match. Michael Cole should have been locked in his little cell there at ringside, and it should have been Jerry Lawler versus Jack Swagger with Stone Cold as the referee, and if Lawler won, he got 5 minutes alone with Cole.
That would have been potentially acceptable, I suppose. Yeah. Mace.
Yeah, I would have gone with Spug's idea of like the 5 minutes with Cole after the match deal. And it seemed just at the end it just overcrowded with people and changing things around, and the fact that now when the record books take a look at WrestleMania 27, it's going to say Michael Cole wins by, what is it, disqualification?
Yeah, wins by DQ.
Yeah. Michael Cole has a win at WrestleMania, yet Jerry Lawler, who has worked his ass off for that company for many, many years, while he may have got his match, it would have been nice to see him walk out with the win.
Yeah.
Give the guy his all due credit.
Yep.
Mind you, I wanted a goddamn pile driver.
That would have been sweet. Yeah, the only problem is it would have made him like 10 inches shorter. I mean, he's got nothing but air in his head. He'd lose it.
I have no problem seeing him a flathead.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see this problem you speak of.
Okay. So, yeah, the match ends. Jerry wins, tap out. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I loved how he took his time making sure Cole was wanting to give up. Literally spelling out each and every single word, do you give up? He took almost as long as the match itself to spell it out.
we got to give credit to Michael Cole. He was a tough son of a bitch. Austin had to ask him at least 3 times with a smile on his face.
Big huge ass, Stone Cold grin. Yeah, definitely. But, hey, wait a minute. If I can have your attention, please. Just received an email from Raw Anonymous General Manager Stone Cold Steve Austin. Interfering, putting his hands on Michael Cole, gets Jerry Lawler disqualified, like you said, Mace. I want to see Jerry Lawler kick the living fuck out of Michael Cole. And I want it to be a shoot. Guys. I'm tired of Cole's character.
There are a lot of people that are tired of Cole's character, my friend. There are a lot of people who are tired of Cole's character. The problem with it is that it's slightly over.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, I really wish that, one, they would end the whole anonymous thing. And just name Cole the general manager, Because I would really like to see the combination of Josh Matthews and Jerry Lawler worked.
Yeah.
I would like to see Michael Cole go backstage again and become be the Raw general manager, be the guy, because he's... If he could tone it down a little bit, just a little bit, he really wouldn't be that bad of a heel.
He can't be any worse than Emily Rock does.
I think the problem is that we do have to hear it for 2 hours every Raw.
That's SmackDown.
It's Vicky Guerrero. It's the same kind of heat that Vicky gets. You don't want to hear her or see her, but it does get a crowd reaction, and Cole gets the same one. Problem is, you only have to hear Vicky for maybe 4 minutes tops.
There you go. Yeah, true. Now, which one of you thought that Michael Cole looked like a great big huge fucking creamsicle in his outfit?
That'd be me.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And see,
pale white inside with an orange coating.
The thing with Cole is, like, if he could tone it down just a little bit and learn to pick and choose the zingers, you know what I mean? Because he does have a couple of good lines that he spits out every once in a while. If he can just refine that, and they can limit if they limit his exposure to just a general manager role, you know, and actually limit his exposure. Say, all right, we have two hours and 20 minutes of TV. You will be on it for a grand total of 10. But next week you're not going to be on it at all. If you make him like a Mr. McMahon type heel, where when he came in, he laid it down and that was it, and you hated him because you knew that he was there to screw over the baby faces.
Yeah.
Then I think Cole really works.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the heel manager, the heel commissioner or the heel general manager, I got sick of that role thanks to Eric Bischoff.
The problem with Bischoff, again, is overexposure.
Mm-hmm. And my point is that overexposure kind of sort of ruined it for everybody else. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Yeah. So there it is. Hey, everybody, we're pretty much just over halfway through WrestleMania 27. We're going to take our time out. We're going to come back. We're going to talk the off-the-hook, the match that was WrestleMania 27, right on the side of this quick little timeout. Doug TR, Sunday Night to Go Anywhere. We'll be right back.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out wtrproductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Keeping up with us. Amateurs.
Do
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talks Radio. Taking a look at WrestleMania 27. Spug, last night we decided to predict what song WWE bought their copyrights to for Triple H's entrance. And what was your pick?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
What played for Triple H?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Congratulations. Do you know what Tony O in the chat room was saying last night?
What?
Oh, I heard the rumor Metallica's gonna do it live.
No. I follow Metallica on Twitter. No.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, I will say this. Undertaker has had some great entrances at Mania. This year's was lackluster. Triple H, by far, had the best entrance at Mania this year.
Yeah.
By far. Above and beyond.
Yeah, and we saw the King of Kings costume for the first time in how long?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, we were all talking about how there was some kind of weather warning in Ohio, probably around the Medina area. People reporting white sticky substances all over the ground that kind of sort of looked like sleet, but wasn't frozen.
You funny.
And then we had to call the Ohio weather off and say, no, Spug's watching WrestleMania 27 and Triple H came out. Don't worry about it. Just keep the women inside. So.
That entrance was really good, especially the way they remixed that song.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a fan of Metallica knows how fucking long the intro to that song is.
Yeah, yeah. No, they did a good job. But at least they didn't get rid of his actual entrance music, Mace.
Yeah, well, that was pretty disappointing to me.
Yeah,
and that's just me. I believe it's WrestleMania, you know. I understand they're supposed to get over this whole last outlaw thing that they're doing with The Undertaker. But it's WrestleMania. Give him the classic. Give us the Druids. Give us The Undertaker, that we know brings that special magic to WrestleMania. This yeah. just sound like he was coming out on SmackDown. Yeah. Triple H's though, in comparison. Freaking epic!
That was definitely WrestleMania worthy for, ring entrances. Wouldn't you say Omega?
I'd have to agree on that. Coming out with the phalanx of troops opening up. It was one of those cases where I kind of wondered, why did you bother getting the rights to the song if you're going to play it for, you know, such a short amount of time?
No.
I mean, it worked, but I wish they would have carried it on a little bit longer than they did, instead of jumping straight to the game.
Okay, yeah.
I wish they would have come down to the ring and the shoulder pads.
Yeah, I mean, they dropped the lights and they come back on, and no, costume's gone, and we didn't even get a good look at it.
Yeah, he had the skull face crown mask on, he had the shoulder pads and the cape, and he just looked badass.
Yeah. Who was it who called him Conan's son or something like that?
I believe it was either Will or Omega who had Trips the Barbarian. I had him as Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that worked too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was his entrance, best entrance at Mania this year.
And oh, yeah.
Like I said, the way that they did that with, they extended the bell toll in the beginning of that song.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're tolling the bell, and they're tolling the bell, the lightning's cracking and the flashing and everything, and then the song hits and you see the phalanx of troops and you see him standing there. I was in my seat at my friend's house, and I'm just like, I totally was freaking out. I was like, yes, that's greatness.
Did you notice that the troops had a bit of trouble setting up their spot?
They sort of moved,
fanned out, and it's like, okay, yeah. we're here, oh shit, about four steps forward.
Yeah.
But Spug, as the Metallica man of the network, which was longer, this version or the actual bell toll from the song?
This version had the longer bell toll because they extended it.
Ah. Yeah, I'm sitting there like, I can't tell if this is longer or normal because it depends on which version they're using. So I think the one from Guitar Hero does about as long with the bell tolls.
Oh,
that's geeky talk. Oh, wrong night. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, do that on Wednesday nights, guys. Oh, that reminds me. Just wanted to ask, what did you guys think about their new background where they're walking up the ramp onto the stage with that huge-ass LCD screen in the background instead of the what they've been using?
Impressive.
That did look pretty nice, didn't it?
It did.
I wasn't too sure about the the high gloss walkway down to the ring though. Looked a little bit too slick and potentially slippery, if you ask me.
Well, it's Mania. It's got to have the 65-foot walkway, and they got to make it look nice somehow.
Yeah, well, I suppose so. But yeah, no, I got to agree with Mace, guys. Undertaker with coming out to Anal Grave. Great for TV, not so good for the pay-per-view. They should have really gone straight back to the entire entourage for Taker, don't you think?
What they needed to do was just have him walk out, you know, with the smoke, maybe a little lightning with that song, cut to black, hit the traditional gongs, and when the lights come back up, at least to dim, there should have been an entire sea of druids behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he should have come down with his own phalanx of sorts.
Yeah, that could have been fairly effective.
To the classic music. Because, I mean, because Mace nailed it. I mean, Undertaker intros at WrestleMania. I mean, it's supposed to bring the majesty of the event. It's supposed to bring something special, and it under-delivered. Big time.
The thing with the Druid entrance is I think it's a bit overplayed. You know, I think they could have done... There are things that they could have done with his entrance that would have been far better. You know, as opposed to just giving him the Druids and saying, you know, here you go.
Oh, look, they could have brought him out in a hearse or something. You know, there's probably a million and one ways they could have done it. But it, just to have him just saunter down to the ring as normal, like we're watching SmackDown, just really dragged away from the entrance. Which is one thing that, which along with, like, there's a few guys that you watch for their entrances at Mania. Rey Mysterio, Triple H, Undertaker. They're your top three, and to a lesser extent, you know, John Cena, but we'll get to him in the main event. And,
well, here's
yeah,
where they missed the boat.
The
majesty, here's where they missed the
boat. This wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, here's where they missed the boat. They're going to use that song, and they're going to use a rampway where you're walking up onto the stage. You should have made it up like a grave. You know, you should have done something to actually fit the song if you're going to stick with it the whole way.
Well,
right.
Let's take a look at the match itself. Some people are saying way too many false finishes, way too many kickouts of finishing moves, way too many times. What do you guys think? Great way of selling. This could be it. This could be it. This could be it. Or did they go overboard?
I don't like the fact that Triple H used. The Triple H used the tombstone, but Undertaker did not use the pedigree.
So you're thinking tit for tat would have been good.
Yes.
Okay.
You have Undertaker kick out of the tombstone, and you have Triple H kick out of the pedigree.
Okay. Well, how many pedigrees did Undertaker take, Mace?
Three or four, I think.
I lost count at three. I thought it was four. Omega, do you know?
I thought it was three.
Jersey's saying four.
Second guessing that.
Okay, yeah.
Four.
Yeah, Jersey Girl is saying he took four pedigrees, kicking out each time. The one pedigree, it looks like he got knocked right on his forehead, and that's where he started looking woozy.
When he had, he got four.
Mm-hmm.
He took the one, and he did. He landed right on his head.
Yeah.
He really started to look woozy at that point. The one that was really kind of an issue, the one spot that I really think he did get considerably hurt in was it was towards the end, and it was the wasn't the chair shot.
Well,
the
tombstone pile driver.
Was it the pile driver?
Yeah, well, that to me did not look like it went off pretty pretty perfectly. That almost looked reminiscent to me of Undertaker slipped a little bit too low, kind of like what happened with Stone Cold Steve Austin when Owen Hart pile drove him.
Yeah,
that's just the way it came across on my screen. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that's the impression I got.
I could see the getting the slipping too low. I think what might have happened is that Triple H didn't protect his head enough.
Yeah. But if you guys remember, right after he delivered, I think it was the Tombstone Piledriver, Triple H was on a knee in the corner of the ring.
Yeah.
And he had a look on his face, and I made the comment in chat, oh, he's got that, aw, it sucks, I gotta pin him now and end his career look. But I'm thinking maybe he was doing what Owen Hart did when Owen Hart was told that he fucked up Austin. He was giving Taker time to recover because Taker got hurt.
I will still maintain that Trips probably was gonna go over tonight. I maintain that. And I'm not pissed that he lost.
Yeah.
The referee in that match was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell every false finish because he would get to 1, 2, and then stop before either one of them would kick out.
So he was giving them time to make sure they got the kick out.
Yeah, he was telegraphing it all the way.
Okay. Well, Mace, what about that chair shot? Did Undertaker sell that thing like fucking crazy? Did he get his hand up just in the nick of time? Or did he take any of the impact to his skull?
He asked you a question,
riveting.
Sir.
Well, sorry, I was reorganizing things in here. My headset fell off as you started asking me a question, so I didn't know it was addressed to me.
I shall re-utter the query. The chair shot that Taker took, did you see him get his hand up like in the nick of time for the deflection? Or did it look like he got beamed with the chair shot?
So it looked like a combination of both. He had his hand up at the last second, but there was still connection with the chair.
Yeah.
So sort of a I guess you could say best and worst of both worlds.
Okay. Omega, your call on this whole set of incidents we're talking about.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to make anything of it. I mean, yeah. He looks like he got beamed with a chair pretty hard. But then again, we haven't seen a chair shot to the head in a long time in the WWE.
Well, they were supposedly banned. But...
Yeah, supposedly banned. But it's Triple H and Undertaker. They're the last two you'd trust to do it.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, you guys, you can do it. You know what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh, oops.
I don't know if anything was made out to be, I'm not sure if I took anything away from it being, you know, if there was a spot that was missed, if someone wasn't, if someone didn't land a move right or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really. It's Triple H and Undertaker. I can't tell, and it's why I like when veterans like that are working in the ring, because I can't tell.
Well, this is the first time, and I don't know how long. I mean, the last two matches Taker had at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels, I thoroughly enjoyed. They were great, but I wasn't yelling at the screen. This one had me yelling. And I was not I haven't reacted to a wrestling match or a wrestling event the way I reacted to this match in Christ, almost 10 years. You couldn't tell if they were, beating the fuck out of each other for real or if they were selling it great. And I made the comment, you know, like this is school. Take notes.
See, I would agree and disagree with that because it was a great match. It was what I expected it to be. But at the same time, I never had any feeling like Triple H was going to put Undertaker away. Like even when he started stealing from Undertaker's movesets, I never felt like Triple H could do it. The last two manias against Shawn Michaels made me forget about the streak enough to go, oh my God, he might just do it.
Yeah,
that made me a believer that the streak could be broken. Not this year, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I got that feeling right near the end, right before the triangle choke.
I got the feeling, oh shit, this is it. Triple H is going to win. This is not right. He shouldn't do it. It's going to happen. Fuck. We might as well try to accept it.
My problem with the triangle choke is the ref really kind of botched that too. During that triangle choke, I counted a grand total of 9 seconds where Triple H or where Taker's shoulders were on the mat. Down. Both shoulders.
Yeah.
And the ref at one point should have got down and counted Undertaker. And that would have added to the drama of the match, because then Undertaker would have had to have moved, you know, while still maintaining control of that hold. And he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to admit, it was really incredible off the hook match. And if Taker isn't hurt, if he was just selling it, that, you know, give the guy an Academy Award, Mace.
Sorry, I had to take a phone call. What did you say?
He said
this just seems to be one of those nights, like, all of a sudden, WrestleMania, everybody's calling me, I'm getting messages all over the place. Have you got a copy of WrestleMania? Have you got a copy of WrestleMania? Have you got a copy? Just give me time to get one, you fucking retards!
By the way, I just want to say thank you very much, once again to Jersey Girl calling in live from Atlanta immediately following the pay-per-view to give us a live report on WrestleMania. Thanks a lot, Jersey Girl, and I don't know if you're turning in for the night or not, but once again, thanks for being a loyal listener and follower to WTR Sunday Night, and have yourself a great night. So, that being said, back to what we were talking about. Also, by the way, if you haven't got it figured out yet, everybody, you can now listen to us on your mobile device. All you got to do is log on to wtr.wirenode.mobi, that's M-O-B-I, on your smartphones, whichever smartphones you listen to tune in to WTR anytime we are live. And that includes your Wednesday night Otaku Talk Live, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. But back to the... Gotta get the shilling in. Yeah, back to the match. Undertaker moves to 19-0. And I'm not going to talk about the sign that we saw in the front fucking row.
I want to talk about the sign we saw in the front fucking row, because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Check the chat. There's a link.
Yeah, there's a link in chat there. And everybody else knows what we're talking about. But, you know, as much as I love Trey, I just can't plug Wrestling News Live.
Oops. You just did.
Meh. Available at tvradio.ewazone.com.
There you go. Yeah, okay. That was one of my less subtle moments, I guess. But anyway, yeah, in case you haven't figured it out, that should give you a big-ass fucking hint. Congratulations to them for getting their sign out there. But, somebody should have had a WTR sign is all I'm saying.
Again, meh. Move on.
Okay, there you go. The sledgehammer makes its appearance. Triple H in the triangle choke grabs the sledgehammer. Did you think that was going to be it? Was he going to be using that, Maggie May Omega?
If he didn't use it at that point, no.
No. Well, how
no,
about
it seemed like a setup for the triangle choke. You know, they did it with Michaels last year, which was to pull something to make you forget that Taker had the triangle choke to begin with.
Yeah. Well, that was
Triple H pulling out a sledgehammer does a pretty good job of distracting.
Yeah, true. Well, that was the only thing that they hadn't pulled out to that point in the match, basically, was triangle choke. But when he was finally in the triangle choke, and Triple H actually goes to grab the sledgehammer, were you thinking he was going to get a chance to use it while he was in the submission hold?
Yeah, I did. I thought for sure he was going to get to use it.
Yeah. How'd you like how he sold losing the ability to actually hold on to it, Mace?
It was really good. It's exactly what we expect from Triple H.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I can see why Spug has a man crush on him, but I ain't going to go that far.
There you go. Yeah. You know, I like him. I don't want to pick out curtains with him or anything like that. But, you know, Triple H getting shit on for well over a decade for being Triple H. In my opinion, hasn't really been given the credit that he deserves across the internet wrestling community by, you know, the fans. I mean, those people doing these internet webcasts who are inside enough to know better, give him the credit and the props that he deserves, I think. But he really does deserve kudos and accolades, especially everything he did tonight, selling the way he sold, pushing the way he pushed, you know, getting basically right in Undertaker's ear when Taker's trying to get up. You know, stay down, it's over, that's it. I mean, great goddamn job to both of these guys. And like I say, I'm hoping it's just a sell job by Undertaker. I'm really, really hoping for that. And that, you know, that's all that is, Spug.
Well, you could see it when they were trying to roll him over. He looked like he was about ready to hurl.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see him kind of retch, and that's why at first I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh yeah, it's a really good work. But yep. the more I watched and the more I looked at it, the more I went, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, Omega, you were saying initially at the end of the pay-per-view that it was a work. Have you changed your mind since then?
No. I've been of the mindset since the end of the pay-per-view that it seems more like something that is intentionally seeded next year's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to give Taker a history of, you know, when WrestleMania 28 comes around, Undertaker is now going to have a history of, you were almost beaten, you just barely made it through, you couldn't even walk out on your own, you're done.
Yeah.
Well, which adds suspense to the 20-0 match, or 19-1, which is more likely.
Whatever. Yeah. But, Jerry and Jerry Lawler and JR weren't talking this whole time that they're checking out Undertaker. Now, Mace, is that a sign of they don't know what's going on and they're not sure if this is real or if he's just faking it? Or have we seen this enough times in the past to figure, okay, they're just adding to it by letting the silence speak volumes?
This is definitely a silence speaks volumes deal. They're trying to sell it off as legit. They're trying to sell it off as, oh, The Undertaker could be done, even though he did win at WrestleMania. And, you know, it's given the effect that they've wanted. They want people like us who sit there and critique and look for every little sign and, you know, we'll rewatch the footage over and over trying to find if we can find out if it's a work or it's real, whatever. They have got us wondering what has happened to The Undertaker. What has happened to Mark Calloway?
Yeah. Now, usually by this time of night, something is posted on a website someplace on the World Wide Web about, you know, the condition of an injured wrestler. I still haven't seen anything concerning Undertaker's health after the match. So, at this point right now, I'm still not sure one way or the other. I have to be honest and admit, I don't know. Maybe he's hurt, maybe he was legit busted up, like Spug's thinking. Or maybe they're just playing into, is this a great setup for WrestleMania 28 in Miami? Will he go 20-0 or will he be 19-1? So.
Either way, they've done their job and we're looking forward to it.
There you go, yeah. Definitely guaranteed that Taker's going to be in another off the hook hell of a match. Definitely, this was match of the night, guys. No questions, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, it was match of the night.
Yeah. Speaking of match of the night, up next, your favorite match, Omega, John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki versus Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool with Vicky Guerrero.
Don't call it my favorite match. Oh, I liked a third of this match.
Yeah. Oh, I was just being a dick, you know, calling it your favorite match. So it lasts 3 minutes, 15 seconds. Snooki gets the fucking pinfall. So Snooki goes in the books, Mace, as having a WrestleMania win.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, you have guys there and divas that actually are more deserving, but no, you put over the 4'9" orange midget from Jersey who headbutts people when doing a move.
Yeah, there you go. Spug, any comment on this match at all?
I didn't realize she was that athletic.
Compared to most celebrities that get dragged into a WrestleMania match just to get a pinfall, she actually did something that was kind of impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a ton. I'm not going to sit here and complain because it's Snooki. The girl went in front of 71,000 people who all probably hated her.
Yeah.
And pulled off a very hard gymnastics move, to say the least. And then another backflip to into like some sort of standing splash to get the pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like John Morrison or Dolph Ziggler or Layla really did anything the rest of the match anyway. It was all Trish and Michelle McCool and Snooki.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to bitch and tear this match down because it's Snooki. She did all right. Give her her credit.
Yeah, well, we're not tearing the match down because of Snooki. I still say, you know, Snooki's not a wrestler. She shouldn't be doing it. That's all. But
Mr. T wasn't a wrestler. He shouldn't have been at WrestleMania 1.
No, he shouldn't have been. But at the same time, what you said, you know, kudos to the athletic prowess that Snooki did show. We got another what the fuck moment from John Morrison, Omega.
Yeah, Starship Pain to the outside. I mean, the guy's going to get one spot at WrestleMania. He was going to make it count and damn near kill himself.
Yeah. Well, it looked like he just about decapitated Ziggler on that one, Mace.
Yeah, definitely looked like it. I'm not going to deny that.
Damn close.
Mind you, I know Spug's just gone, you know, let's not tear down this match because it's... The only thing that I'm going to say about this one, it was the semi-main.
Mm-hmm.
That just irked me. Like, the semi-main and the main event, like, that last hour should be for guys and divas who have really earned their spot. You know, who have really put in the effort over the past year to really do something. And... I don't know. It just irks me a little.
Well, you have to...
Just a little.
You have to remember... It's what WWE has done the last few years, though. I mean, once you get done with one main event, they do like to give the crowd a chance to rest and recuperate. Because, you know, at that point, they've been around for three and a half hours of show, which is a lot longer than usual. So, you do have to give them some kind of a breather. In between main events.
Yeah, but this is where you could have put on your Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio to sort of bring the crowd down a little bit, give them a chance to relax and just go, ooh, and ah, and look at the pretty flippy stuff. But I'm not booking the stuff. I'm not going to, like, grow up in arms about it. I'm just sort of a bit miffed that, you know, here it is. A celebrity has taken a semi-main spot away from somebody who has spent 12 months busting their ass for the company.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. 3 minutes, 15 seconds for the match. Snooki, Trish, and John Morrison win. By the way, the Undertaker-Triple H match goes 29 minutes, 25 seconds. That does not include the entrance, guys.
Good effort. So, I repeat the question I had in the chat room during the match. How many painkillers was The Undertaker on in order to operate at that level?
Well, I want to know how many painkillers he's on now, after the match, just to be able to, you know, drive home or get driven home.
Omega, what was your answer to that question again? Because I think it's still relevant.
How many painkillers? Enough to pay for Jeff Hardy's lawyers.
All right, then. Well, let's take a look at the main event. The Miz with Alex Riley versus John Cena, and I will say it right now. Get rid of Alex Riley. Let The Miz stand on his own, Omega.
Cena gets an entire choir. Miz gets balloons. I would agree.
Get the sparklers.
Yeah, don't forget
very pretty sparklers. Look, we found out how to make a firework go back and forth. Woohoo! Riley has no business being around Miz anymore. Miz is too big for it, and Riley's just, you know, hanging on to coattails at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. So the match itself has some pretty good stuff, except for Riley interfering. There's no place for it. Riley did not need to be there. He does not need to be hanging on Miz's coattails. Send him down or give him his own thing. Just get him away from the Miz. I don't care if you turn the Miz face and have Riley attack him. I don't care if you turn Riley face and have the Miz attack him. Just split him up already. But here we go. The match ends in a double countout disqualification. The Miz retains. We're all happy about that. But out comes The Rock to steal the thunder. The Rock basically restarts the match, calls it no DQ. The guys get back in the ring. John Cena goes for the attitude adjustment. Miz grabs the ropes and Rock gets the Rock Bottom in retaliation on John Cena. Miz covers him for the 1-2-3. To basically retain the title. If you smell what The Rock was cooking, Mace.
Really? Do we have to go through this? Really?
Was this a terrible ending or not?
You know, it was the initial ending where it was the draw. You know, the double count out, I'm just screaming at the television, you fucking retards, why did you book this ending on your biggest show of the year?
Yeah.
Then The Rock came out and did his little spiel and threw the computer away and said, oh, I'm restarting this match. And I'm like, okay, Rock Bottom coming in 3, 2, 1. Oh, look, The Rock just stole WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried that they were going to bury The Miz in this. No, they buried everyone.
Pretty much.
Equal opportunity, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, Omega, your turn. Chime in. Wipe up.
Rock ruined WrestleMania. I mean, aside from all the mic time you give him just to spout off the same catchphrases he's been using forever.
Yeah.
You know, which sends Sheamus and Bryan down to the dark match of the night. You know, and it cuts the core down to a squash match, et cetera, et cetera. This was such a terrible way of ending this. I mean, if it ended with Miz standing atop, I would have been fine. Okay. No. You know, it would have been fine if it ended there. Then Rock had to get in the last punch. Yeah, he just had to show off and be the last one standing.
I just want to know.
You go through all the trouble. You go. What?
Go ahead.
We're
on
a delay. We go through all the trouble of making Miz look like a credible champion, so that when he does beat Cena, even if it is, you know, by crook, even if it is at the, you know, with The Rock's help, it's still Miz going over in the WrestleMania main event. That's a huge deal. That should have elevated him to the top card permanently. Except you had to squash him immediately after for a guy that won't be there this time next month.
I would like to know when The Rock won the Royal Rumble and when The Rock got named number one contender for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. If anybody can answer me this question, I'm surely all ears.
Okay. I can answer that question. It's when Vince McMahon said, here's a contract that's blank, fill out whatever you want, and I'll pay it, and you can have whatever you like. Just bring me more buy rates at WrestleMania.
The problem with the ending is, our fear was that they were gonna end up making Miz look like a non-credible champion months ago, right?
Like an afterthought.
And I disagreed last night and said Miz made himself, you know, put himself front and center. And he did a good job at it. Well, tonight you've essentially killed your champion. Because not only did you have the match end in a double countout. So originally, take away the ending. Take away the Rock coming up. But if the pay-per-view ends in a draw, in a double countout, what you're saying is that your number one contender and your champion are on par and neither one can beat the other one. So you've killed John Cena, who you spent all this time and money on, and you've killed your heavyweight champion of your company.
No.
Then to have The Rock come out, do his tired BS, and then rock bottom Cena, which I said it weeks ago that The Rock was going to cost Cena the title.
Mm-hmm.
Miz gets the 1-2-3. So you have interference from Riley. You have Cena getting hit with a turnbuckle, a steel briefcase, and a rock bottom so that he gets beaten. Miz didn't win cleanly. Though again, you further damaged your heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mace Omega, just how tarnished is the Miz because of the finale tonight?
Feel free to go first, Omega, if you wish.
I'm not saying so much tarnished, because he can still say that he beat Cena at Mania with the title on the line. Not something most can say.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, he still does have a lot going for him, but you take away the shine from that spotlight by letting The Rock do his thing.
I'm going to say this now. All hinges on what is going to happen tomorrow night on Raw. You know, what's going to happen? Is The Miz going to come out and really push, you know, I beat Cena, and just ignore the fact that The Rock was the one who, in the end, beat Cena? Then what's Cena gonna do? Are they going to turn him, you know, into some sort of anti-face or something? You know, are they gonna make Cena actually be pissed off, or is he gonna come out and laugh about it? You know, a lot of this is very much going to hinge on what's gonna happen on Raw. But at the same time, you had The Rock, who's come in going, I'm going to be here for the fans, suddenly steal the spotlight from the guys that you've been building, you know, in the terms of Cena for the last nearly 10 years. You got The Miz, who you're trying to build up as a credible champion. Who cares about either one of them now? Because you got The Rock. He's taken over everything.
Yeah.
Vince Russo, are you backstage?
Yeah, there
Give me
is.
A sign, please, because this is what it seemed like.
Yeah. Now, my question for all you guys and everybody listening, if they presented us with the exact same WrestleMania, but put Taker Triple H on last. Would that
We're
going
to go back to this again?
Now, hang on a second. If they had done that, would that have put a different shine on WrestleMania this year? Spug.
Well, like I go back to what Jericho and Triple H said on the True Story of WrestleMania DVD.
Well,
the documentary was that at WrestleMania 18, they lobbied all day to Vince McMahon and to others to put Hogan Rock on last.
Uh-huh.
Because that was the match that you sold your card on. Yeah. I don't necessarily think it puts a different shine on WrestleMania, because a card that had this many matches on it that people were interested in seeing and under-delivered like it did, I don't think there's a way that you can necessarily put a different shine on it. So, would it have made the match better? Yeah, I guess. But then again, I can still see Vince's logic of your championship always is the last match of the card.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Omega.
I could see the logic of it, especially if you're going to let the heel go over the champ for the championship that night.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been more okay with The Rock getting to show off, and I would have been a little bit more okay with, you know, how that was booked if it wasn't the last thing I remember from WrestleMania. If it wasn't, you know, what people remember the most from a show is always going to be the last impression they had. If you leave them with something like that, it's going to tarnish your view of the entire thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you leave, you have to leave a big show like that on a high note. And yeah, Taker and Triple H would have left it on a much higher note if that was booked as the main event.
Okay, Mace.
Yeah, as Omega said, you know, the last thing that you're going to remember is that final match, that final moment of the pay-per-view. And if it had been, you know, the image of The Undertaker being taken away on a stretcher, all of a sudden you have the biggest intrigue to lead in to your next month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what has happened to The Undertaker? Whereas here, a lot of people are going, The Rock fucked over WrestleMania. You know, and I can see that, you know, it might improve the Taker Trips match to have had it on last, and it would have improved people's vision of the entire show. But at the same time, I agree with Spug's point and that he brought up about Vince's logic.
Yeah.
Your title is your draw card. Mm-hmm. That's what you're meant to hinge everything on. Mm-hmm. And that should be your main event no matter what. And if you wanted to create a better shine for WrestleMania, you should have ended it with The Miz, you know, getting some sort of sneaky win.
I think The Miz should have gone over cleanly, Mace.
Yeah, or even cleanly. You know, just leave The Rock out of it. Even if they had given us the draw, sure, we would have been pissed. But, man, what a WrestleMania moment. Because
right.
How many WrestleMania matches, main events, have ended in a draw?
Not too damn many, that's for sure.
Well, alright. With the Taker Triple H match, we all called it who was going to get involved, right?
Yeah.
We all said Shawn Michaels is going to get involved somehow.
Yeah, we
was
all
there.
Assumed that was the setup, because that's the way it was leading.
I don't recall joining in that sentiment.
And who got involved?
Nobody.
Nobody. So you have The Rock get involved in your championship match, which I think he could have gotten involved, but you have the match end, right? It's over.
Yeah.
Miz goes over cleanly. Miz goes over. He celebrates. He's out of the ring. He's walking towards the back. John Cena's on the outside. You want to give Rock his pop moment, then you have him beat the hell out of John Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking about it, I agree with your point that you said, Spug, about the Miz going over cleanly. This should have been the moment where you make the Miz the man. You make him a solid threat to anything that the WWE is going to throw at him. He should have gone over clean, and that would have been an interesting moment. And then, of course, you know, you could have The Rock steal the fucking spotlight with his Cena beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this, I don't know, this just sort of stinks of really weird booking.
So, so as far as WrestleManias go, this one doesn't rank in the top 10 for me. Guys.
No.
Definitely not.
Uh-uh.
Can we call this X7 and pretend it doesn't exist?
I akin this more to WrestleMania.
We have to remember 8. Our mistakes.
This, if any of you guys remember WrestleMania 8, this and WrestleMania 8 have some really weird parallels. It really does. I mean, it had a double main event where both ended really weird and ended in a fashion that kind of left us going, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And the WrestleMania 8 card, originally, as it stacked up, looked like it would be a hell of a card and turned out to be a shit card. So, I mean, I really attribute this to WrestleMania 8. You know, like, and it seems like that, like, 18 had one really good match. 8 had one pretty good match. Uh-huh. 20, you know, next year, unfortunately, is 28. So maybe we'll hopefully it'll be broken next year.
There you go. It's almost a curse. Almost a curse.
Oh, by the way, I can tell you, WrestleMania 29 will more than likely be held in a stadium. WrestleMania 30, New York. WrestleMania 31 in Chicago. WrestleMania 32 will be held in L.A.
Well, how did you get this one figured out?
Watching the true story of WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
The guy who was in charge of. He retired last year. But he and Vince are the ones that did all the selections and the Vince after 2022, it was in Chicago. Yeah. Vince came to him and said, I want to do after New York and LA and Chicago, I want to do, Detroit. And then we're going to go back to stadiums. Hmm. And so the cycle repeats. 30 will be in New York. 31 will be in LA. 32 will be in Chicago. 33 will be in Detroit. And then it'll go back to the stadiums again.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that as the years, unfold. But, there it is. Our look at WrestleMania 27. Thumbs firmly in the middle, would you say?
C+.
Omega?
Yeah, C.
Yeah, I'd go C+, but for a WrestleMania, that's a piss poor score.
Yeah, C+ is a bad score for WrestleMania. You don't want it any worse than a B-, definitely. I was saying before the thing came on, and I'm saying it afterwards, it just felt lackluster, and I think that's what we got. The perception, like I said, the perception may have been a little bit different if we got that for the main event if we got Triple H and Undertaker.
You see, you're stuck on that.
I know, I know. I'm wrapping up, Spuck. I'm wrapping up. I'm just saying, okay? You know, it's, you know, like, I think it was Mace who said, you know, just leaving a different impression from your main event. That being said, that's WrestleMania 27, and it's time for us to do a quick version of Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
And here we go. Spud, you're up first. First question of the night. Always, after WrestleMania, there are cuts. Name three people you believe are on the chopping block.
Daniel Bryan, Vladimir Kozlov, and... Oh, God. Maybe the Bella Twins.
All right. Mace, by this time next year, who from the undercard of this year's WrestleMania do you expect to be in the main event or close to the main event?
Oh, God. 12-month booking cycle. I expect to see Morrison close to the main event. Maybe Sheamus in something along the lines of a third last match. Semi-main, I'd definitely make an Undertaker match with that next year, but you know, it's still 12 months. There's at least another lot of spring cleaning to go. And I'm going by Spug's answers to the last question. There's going to be quite a few cuts, and you never know who's going to go.
All right. Omega, out of the four people who were in this year's WWE World Title matches, who do you expect not to be in the title picture this time next year?
Man, I could so easily say Del Rio here, couldn't I?
You could.
Honestly, though, I'm going to say Edge because he wants to retire.
Okay.
Within the next year.
Okay. So that's pretty much the only one?
No, I'm going to say Del Rio, too.
Okay. Edge and Del Rio. Next up, Spug. If Alan Wojcik, and it's too bad he's not here to hear this, but his daughter's sick, so I hope she feels better soon, Alan. If Alan Wojcik were to star in an adult film, what would the name of the film be?
Not The Critic. With Alan Wojcik wearing a green sweater vest.
Oh, God, no. Is that Playboy series or is that Hustler? I forget.
It was a cartoon series.
Yeah, no, I know The Critic, but I'm talking about the porn
Hustler.
Version. It's Hustler, okay. That's right. Fuck. Mace, if you could haunt somebody as a ghost, who would you haunt and why?
Oh, God. Let's go off the assumption that I'm dead tomorrow. Let's just narrow it down a bit. I would haunt Vince Russo, only because he'd do a storyline about me on TNA the following week. Think about it, people.
Yeah. All right, Omega. What's one celebrity...
The Aussie ghost on a pole match.
Yeah, the ghost on the pole. Omega, what's one celebrity you would like to see have a match at next year's WrestleMania?
celebrity?
Yeah.
God, I don't want to see any celebrity in a wrestling match. And that depends. And that depends so much on what the celebrity is doing. You know, I'd love to see the situation get powerbombed by Kane for about 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll go with that one. There it is. Quick hits for, my God, it's April the 3rd, 2011. Everybody, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget, we maintain you should make up your own goddamn mind. We just give you our opinions. Don't forget, this Tuesday night, WW Radio takes to the airwaves at 9 o'clock Eastern. Alan Wojcik with guests. Rock, do you know whose guests are this week?
I think it's just WrestleMania review by Alan Wojcik.
The WrestleMania Fallout. All right. Starring Alan Wojcicki. And, of course, 9 o'clock Eastern, Omega. You've got a little thing going on, don't you?
Well, we've got Otaku Talk Live for all your geek news and reviews of the week.
Just basically a bullshit show with geeky technology stuff thrown in for good measure.
Yep. All this stuff you really love, but you're ashamed to tell your girlfriend.
There you go. Okay. If you're into geek culture, you know, of course, naturally, it assumes you don't have a girlfriend, but different story.
I mean the one you pretend to have.
Okay, Saturday night. Is there any UFC coming up, Spug?
This Saturday, I don't know. I don't believe so.
I don't believe so. Well, if that's not the case, then tune in to CB Radio midnight-ish on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next weekend.